Hello there, everybody. Welcome to the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast. This is number two for us. With me, as always, I have Steve, Mario, and myself, Brian. This week, we'll be talking a little bit about etiquette on the mountain. How to not be that guy. Steve.
All right. So first off, we always start out our podcast by telling you all what we're drinking and giving a quick little review. So what I'm drinking tonight is the Guinness Blonde American Lager. I drink a lot of beer and I try a lot of different beers. And I have to say, I am a fan of Guinness. I'm not a fan of this beer. It's a blonde. It's a lighter beer. They call it an American Lager. I don't think it's anything close to an American Lager, a Yingling, or any of these classic American lagers. So I'm
gonna satire, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm gonna. You know what it is? It's
it
it's
tastes
good.
Like a Weiss beer.
Yeah,
like a white beer.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a combination of a Weiss beer, and I think that's the issue, right? A lager's
it's
a lager.
Yeah.
A Weiss beer is a Weiss beer. So they're calling it a blonde, which a lot of beer companies call that a blonde, a Weiss beer. So I'm gonna give it a six.
Wow.
That's as far as I can go.
That's a tough one.
I did like their marketing, though. They were like, everybody loves a blonde with a dark past.
Yeah.
But that was really clever.
That's why I bought it.
Yeah.
I actually looked for that beer for like 2 months until I finally found it out after seeing the commercial. And I'm glad I found it, but I'm kind of like, still like my old Guinness.
Yeah. All right, so how about you, Mario? What are you drinking?
Well, I started with a Guinness Draught. And now I've moved on to a nice little Moscow Mule that I made. Little own concoction because I couldn't find ginger beer. So I used a like an organic ginger juice that came in that I got at the supermarket. Add a little seltzer to it. Made my little Moscow Mule. It was pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm drinking the same thing. And Mario did a very nice job. It's quite delicious. It's refreshing.
It's not as sweet if you make it. Some of the ginger beers are a little sweet, so this isn't as sweet.
It's a weird mix because when you told me it was vodka, lemon, and ginger beer, I thought that sounds kind of.
Lime and ginger beer.
It sounded kind of gross almost, but gotta say, it works.
I just don't have the Moscow Mule glasses. I've ordered those. They'll be
the
here
copper,
soon.
The copper.
I got a set of six coming. They're on the way.
Look at you.
All right, so we're thinking maybe episode 5 you'll have them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. All right, perfect.
See? Nice
so
little
Brian,
teaser there.
Right. So Brian talked about don't be that guy. All right. So you guys probably don't know I'm an avid snowboarder, but I grew up skiing and I'll never give up skiing. There's nothing more fun to me than tucking and going down the mountain as fast as I can on skis. That being said, I snowboard probably 75% of the season. So my question for Brian and Mario, being skiers, I always hear skiers complaining about snowboarders, and we're talking about etiquette here, and we're talking about don't be that guy. What is it? What are the top three or four? So Brian, you, what is the top three things that annoys you about a snowboarder that you think that they could improve their etiquette?
Well, one of the things, everyone always talks about skiers versus boarders, and it's one of the things we have to coexist because the mountains, the industry wouldn't exist without boarding becoming super popular and a lot of people getting into it.
So unless you're at one or two ski mountains. Then
unless you're at something beautiful like Deer Valley or Alta or something. But it's one of those things we have to coexist. One of the things that I've encountered a couple of times this year that's driven me crazy is boarders wearing these giant noise-canceling headphones. And I know it sounds so much like, those damn kids and their music, get off the lawn. But seriously, you're wearing noise-canceling headphones, and you have and boarders to begin with have only half of, they only can see one direction to the side. Their blind spot is their whole backside. So if you're on a little, slow kind of narrow cruiser run, and you're just one of those, one of those ones that kind of bisects the steeper parts of the mountain, you're trying to pass someone on the left. You could yell, on your left, as loud as you want. If they have those headphones on and they're facing their direction, they could just lean and roll right into you, knock you off the cliff.
So,
In
boarder's defense, Steve, I'm a skier, but I think I agree too. I've seen skiers do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be
noise-canceling headphones in general, I think.
Right, so if I wanted to defend
And what are you listening to? Are you listening to, like, you know, getting pumped with, like, Katy Perry? Like, are you a firework? Like,
do
you
need that? Got you yawning jamming, you're going down the mountain.
Do you need that for your...
That's what snowboarders are listening to. Yeah. Can't hurry.
To like go down that green slope, you need that to pump you up. Come on.
Oh.
But yeah, so I think noise-canceling headphones all around are bad. Like, just it's a safety issue, but it's also an etiquette issue. You know, you can't hear people, or you have a tendency to just do stuff that you shouldn't. You know?
So, okay. So you normally what if there wouldn't. So maybe this is a business idea. What if there was an app that shut down the music at low speeds?
Almost like when they had a couple, I guess.
Like a car does
that. And yeah, they had the auto adjust based on, you know, how fast you're going. It's louder as you get.
Then you have to have the app. I mean, it's not a bad idea.
Because, I mean, for me, the only time, you're right. There's always going to be an issue when you're passing somebody. A lot of times you can't hear anyway, whether you have the headphones on or not.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we could ever, you know, solve that issue. And you do bring up a point, but snowboarders don't realize that we are blind on that, on the backside. And actually, it's funny you bring up that subject, because there was a very nice older woman that was passing me on a very, very narrow, narrow path of path down in Telluride. And she was shouting to me, and I had my headphones on, and I couldn't hear a word she said. And I almost pushed her off the mountain.
Pushed her off the mountain. Yeah.
But that could have happened to me as a skier also.
Yeah.
True. I think so. You know what? It really is people in general being conscious of their environment and people around them, which, yeah. You know, it's easy to get into the
conscious
to the zone,
your space.
You know?
I mean, you got to be space aware. It's just like if you play football or anything, you got to be aware of where you are at all times. You know, it's a sport. I mean, it's not where you're just kind of wandering around a mountain. You're with other people.
Right.
You know?
So, but all right, getting back to this. So, that aspect of the headphones, that really is not just a snowboarding issue. So what would be something that's really more specific to snowboarders that you see them do that could be an improvement in their etiquette? What could they do?
So
what is something else?
I got one if you want me to jump in.
Jump in.
So boarders, when they stop on the mountain, and they stop in like either a line or like they take up most of the mountain. Now, I understand they got to stop, but, you know, at least – bunch together if you're together, but you see people that are together and they're kind of in like a line.
Yeah, now that's a
it's like an obstacle course.
Absolutely, and that's something that actually ruins the head wall, right? I love doing the head wall jump on skis, and when people are sitting down, and often you'll see people sit down before that head wall, and they're really ruining it for everyone else.
Yeah,
and that's the only thing I could say there. Snowboarding does not have any rest area. You know, you could be on skis and you could stop and you talk to your friends and you're standing and you're resting. The only rest on a snowboard, because we can't stand and rest. Because when we're standing, we're always balancing one way or the other. So there's no rest period. So our rest is you standing. So we have to sit or we have to kneel down. So that's the reason for that. Now, there's no excuse to be on the middle of the mountain. And that is the number one rule. And if every single snowboard and ski instructor could just drill that in every single lesson, just basically three or four rules. One rule, number one, stop on the side of the mountain. There's just no reason why everyone just can't emphasize that.
And I see skiers do it too. Like, they'll stop in a group and sometimes they'll spread out versus just kind of bunching together. If you're bunched together, it's a lot easier to avoid you. You're not taking up the whole mountain. And if somebody's coming through and they're not going to stop, at least they got a place to go.
Right. And what's also, but when a skier stops, think about the stance of a skier. They usually face, maybe they might be on the side or they might be facing down. Their foot plant is smaller. When you're a snowboarder and you stop, your board is going straight across.
Yeah.
Right.
It's better than laying down. It's harder to see.
You're actually taking up a lot more space on that mountain when you're stopping that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people who are stopped in the middle, whether it's, you know, skiers or boarders, doesn't matter. It's dangerous for people coming down, and it's really dangerous for you, person who stopped there. I mean, yes, people do fall. That's fine. I mean, one of the things, too, is if you do see someone fall or when your group falls, stop behind them. You know, like create almost like a little barrier for them, like a little shield. Because I know there was a time, Mario, that one time you went down, and it was a tight corner, and there was like people were barreling through. I tried to get behind and be like, just make a little shield, because the last thing you want after you go down is for someone to run you over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to – your day sucked. It's going to be way worse then, you know? Last thing was a ski in the back or a snowboard in the back.
Well, the other thing is just this, like, you know, courtesy rides along with safety, right? So if you, you know, if you have etiquette, you'll be a little bit safer, right? Everybody will be safer. It's not – it's a cool thing to do. If you see somebody and you're a pretty strong skier, you see somebody go down and all their stuff's all over the mountain, go over and help them pick up their ski, or help them rather than, you know, ski by them or board by them. And now you're forcing them to walk up the mountain for their stuff. Yeah, or laugh.
Don't laugh.
You know, now you're saving them a trip walking up the mountain when other people are trying to go down. So, you know, you're helping with the safety concern, but you're also being a nice person. You're helping somebody that might not be as strong a skier, had some, you know, had a problem, you know.
Yeah, and you're getting good ski karma.
Yeah, it's good ski karma.
Good ski karma is always a good thing,
too. All right, so this is a good thing. So there's two things you guys brought up, particularly about snowboarders. But as it turned out, both of those are issues for skiers and snowboarders.
Right.
All right, so stopping on the middle of the mountain, that's a ski and a snowboard issue. Noise-canceling headphones, that's a ski and snowboard issue. So is there anything specific to snowboarders?
I know it's something they can't avoid, but something to be aware of. Skiers do it too, though. When you get off of a lift, sometimes people plop right in the path of everybody, you know, going out.
Oh,
and I know sometimes
move.
Snowboarders have a little bit harder time because they got one foot in and they have the other foot flopping around. So it's a, you know, it's a little bit more difficult. But also as a skier or a boarder, when you're coming off, if somebody's in front of you, you try to avoid them if you can. But you know. It's just important to keep that in mind, that it's a safety issue, but it's an etiquette issue.
You know? It's so funny. I mean, the number one, you know, complaint that everyone has is stopping, right? Don't stop in the middle of the mountain.
Yeah.
And the number two is the lift. And, you know, this is so funny. These are two topics that are so easy to do. Like, how hard is it to just, you know, stop on the side? Or how hard is it to be cognizant of don't stop on the head wall? And by the way, don't stop 5 feet below the head wall either, right? Because that's even worse.
You don't stop if you're in the parks, don't stop beneath the jump in the landing zone.
Or in front of it and mess somebody else's jump.
Yeah. Just stay out of the way.
But I'll tell you, the lifts.
Well, and there's a big part of etiquette with a park is everybody is waiting for the jump. So you could see, like you could sense there's a line and there's an order where people were waiting.
Yeah.
Don't be the jerk and just jump in front of somebody because you're going to screw up their jump.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Right.
Or girl.
So getting off the lift, it is amazing. Getting off the lift, again, simple concept. Just simply get off the lift and go to the right or to the left. For snowboarders, it's more challenging than a skier because you're getting off. And a snowboarder, you're not strapped into that back leg. We have the stomp pad, and we grind our leg against the stomp pad. But you see many, many snowboarders getting hurt, even experienced snowboarders getting off the lift because someone will stop or someone will turn. And they're all over the place, you know, and actually that's where you end up getting a lot of twisted knees.
Yeah.
Getting off the lift, of all the stupid things to get hurt, getting off the lift. So that would be, if you were asking me that same question, that would be probably one of my number one things that I would ask skiers, is just do not stop.
Because
we're going to hit you.
Because
we have half the control we have. We have one leg in, so we have half the control.
Right.
Now, what would you think? Now, I guess, you know, all ski lifts were pretty much created for skiing because they're all that old style design. Now, as a snowboarder, how would you change the way the lift was designed? Is there anything that could be done or modified?
Like the exit ramp or something?
Well, snowboarders are generally younger, so we adapt. You know, we adapt to our environment.
Oh.
But if I had to change something...
I
wouldn't really change anything, but I will tell you that I do prefer having one of the anchors, either the right side or the left side. It's just easier to turn. It also depends if which direction you snowboard. You might be facing the person on the lift.
That's a good etiquette point too. When you get on the lift, if you see a snowboarder, a lot of times I'll see a boarder and be like, "Oh, do you want the outside?" Because it's a lot easier for them to get on and off. It's not going to hold me up. So it kind of serves my purpose of not wanting to slow down. But it's also a nice thing to do, especially if you're skiing, you know. A lot of times we'll ski with people in the group. You want the outside, you know, kind of. Or somebody new. I mean, that getting on the lift, I mean, is probably one of the most terrifying things for a lot of people.
As a new skier, that was Definitely.
Yeah.
This, especially borders, but skiers and borders. I was in the lift this past weekend, and I saw a father with their young son. I mean, the boy had to be maybe five or six. And I guess he was trying to get him to, you know, ski up to the spot to load, but he wasn't doing it. So he went off to the side, was stuck behind me. Luckily, the lifty was able to stop it quick enough, and everyone was able to get, you know, readjusted, get in their spot, get on the lift, and go up. But little kids, and I've seen old people falling off the lift a couple weeks ago. So, yeah. You know, the lifts really are a pretty they're probably the hardest parts of skiing. It's just getting on the lift so you can go up and actually go and ski.
It's amazing. There's people that their skiing careers have ended because of ACL injuries getting off the lift. Oh, and yeah. That would be something that I would never want to see happen.
Yeah.
No.
Right? Getting off the lift because somebody falls in front of you and you can't maneuver and you fall over them and you twist your leg and you tear an ACL. That has happened so many times.
Well, think about the way it is. The lift, you know, they have where you unload and then all of a sudden there's that big drop off.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like if someone... Like that little kid, if that lifty hadn't stopped that, he probably would have like just, you know, taken me out at the knees. I would have flopped forward. Who knows what would have happened with ski getting stuck and twisting and wrenching and popping. If the father wanted the kid to be a little more self-sufficient and get up there, but it's kind of his responsibility to grab that kid by the back of the head and pull him forward and get him on that lift.
So. Well, also, don't be a jerk. I mean, like I see in lift lines, there's, you know, if you go to other countries, sometimes you don't get the same courtesy. You get people.
Europe.
It's a mad dash.
No holds barred.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a courtesy of a lift line or alternating lines. I mean, here Everybody understands. You know, you alternate. You let people in. It's a lot of buildup to get to where you load. And there are people that, you know, you'll see some people that are a little more nervous, a little more new on a board. Maybe they're older, they're younger. That, you know, so just keep that in mind. You know, especially if you can handle yourself, there are people that can't. You know, just kind of,
yeah. So I would say
people that aren't as strong. I mean, you know.
So I'd say for snowboarders, when you're getting on the lift, what will be really great for us is the heel side turn. All right, the heel side is the easier turn. So you'll notice a lot of snowboarders when they're getting off the lift, it is easier for them to turn. Well, depending on which way they're facing. So just the heel side, you'll see them.
So if you're the leftmost position, you're going to turn left. If you're the rightmost position, you're going to turn right. Right. Well, I guess it depends. Again, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it complicated. It depends if you're
where your back
goofy
is facing.
Or regular.
Whatever direction your back is.
Well, right. Honestly, so that's the direction you're going to go. One of the etiquette things I see a lot of times is as you're on the lift, before you get to unload, people start talking to each other. You going right? You going left? I mean, it's kind of nice to know.
Yeah, when it's a certain top of the lift where there, you do have a choice and where you go. A lot of times it just kind of dumps you off in the same spot.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, that is really good. I mean, it's very helpful. Again, you can't have your noise-canceling headphones on. You got to be able to talk to the people on the lift with you.
Yeah.
And you know, that really also talks to what a huge advantage having a gondola is. Because all these problems are non-existent. You know, you hop in the gondola, you throw your ski and your board on the outside, and you just cruise on up.
Yeah, but you do bring up a point. You know, whatever happened to the social sport? Like, right, what is wrong with maybe, you know, having a casual conversation with a stranger on the lift?
It's, yeah.
And it is funny when people have the headphones on, they're shutting themselves off. You don't have those conversations, and consequently, you don't know if they might be turning right or left. And if you're, I will say for all the listeners out there, if you're a new skier and there's a snowboarder next to you, just ask them which way they're going to turn. It'll help you out a lot.
Honestly, everybody should be talking to each other because a lot of times I find tips up, you know, on the mountain. Like, did you go ski that area today? I haven't gone there. Is it good? Is it any good? Like, you know, what's it like? You know, where have you been? You know, so you hear a lot of like tips, advice, info about other areas of the ski area that you're at, info about other ski areas. So it's kind of nice to communicate to people.
So what do you think? Should we just ban music on the mountain?
I think the
NBA did that. The NBA did that to the players. It wouldn't let them have the headphones on.
I think
they
should play it on the mountain. They should have speakers on the mountain and play it. So yeah. That people aren't wearing
like
their own.
There's that one run at Mount Snow that has those speakers on, is it Snow Dance? There's
yes,
that one
Snow
mogul
Dance.
Run.
Yep.
And they had those big old, like, 1980s
music,
beige colored speakers. They was blasting like Van Halen and stuff
it's
out there.
Kind of festive, you know.
Some
it's of the snow
cool.
parks, some of the snowboard parks,
the parks,
terrain
yeah.
parks have it, which is
yeah,
great.
It's fun. It'll never go that way, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be wireless headphones coming out everywhere. And,
yeah.
you know, we're never going to get rid of the headphones. But I have to say, I remember growing up, and I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, and I went to Big Boulder and Jack Frost. Yeah. Believe me, that's not bragging. That's not bragging. So I grew up on ice, and they had tons of speakers.
Yeah,
really? I remember skiing at night all the time.
Well, night skiing too is like a thing because like they're not going to light that whole mountain up.
Yeah.
But the parts that are lit up, they might have speakers there and stuff. And it's that's more of like the kids kind of party kind of atmosphere, the night skiing thing.
Right, right.
I think if you want to be safe, you want to be courteous, you want to save yourself some, you know, difficulty getting everything set up. I just bought not too long ago a helmet with the speakers built in. And the way that works is it's in the ear pads.
Not to brag.
But it sounds like ambient noise. So you can hear, you can talk to people, you can still hear stuff around you, but you still got your music jamming, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, there's a couple like particular runs like where having some of your favorite music getting you pumped up for it really can help you get through
tough
run.
So we would never advocate not having music.
I usually use like those lousy, like, well, not lousy, but the iPhone 5
iPod. You got your Katy Perry blasting in your own mind. That's
good.
Maybe
I'm a firework out there.
I don't want to hear it.
I'm going down that green with my firework playing, and I am just the king of the mountain. But yeah, so obviously you can't ban it. But again, don't be that guy. Just be courteous. Be aware of your surroundings, and you know what? Talk to people on the lifts because I mean I've had some, and I don't know if it's like a. It's definitely older folks are more likely to talk. You know, then, like, again, younger folks might want to be on the headphones.
Why don't we take a quick break and get that? Because there's a lot of good stories on that.
A lot of good stories. Break time. All right, and we are back. Just in case you guys are trying to get more good Ski Bum Podcast goodness, you can find us at Ski Bum Podcast on Twitter or SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com. Steve, you want to give us a little bit of a recap of our etiquette?
Yes, and I'm very excited that everything I've wrote down, there is no difference between snowboarders and skiers. Anything that has annoyed you guys as skiers about snowboarders is the same for skiers. So there's really no difference there. We're
all assholes.
Right, we are all assholes.
Equal asshole distribution.
Equal opportunities. And as far as the music, you know, music is here to stay. It's part of the experience now, and we are all going to wear headphones.
Just want to do it safer.
Exactly. Safer, I like the app idea, though. I like the app idea. You know, you get down to the bottom of the lift, it automatically goes down with the volume. I think we're on to something there.
I know. I think Oakley has a pair of goggles that have, you know, it's got like a GPS built into it, and there's like a wrist controller that you can control your music and volume, which, again, you want to drop $650 on goggles. I know I don't.
Right.
Oakley, if you want to send them to us, we'd be more than happy to review them and wear them and talk about how awesome they are. So, you know, reach out to us. But, yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, people just need to be a little bit more courteous and aware of their surroundings. And I think if we all made an effort to do that, I think everyone would have a much – an even better time. Not a much better time because skiing and boarding is awesome. I mean, you're in the mountains. You're doing something that 100 years ago was not even possible because of the technology and the infrastructure acquired that, you know, remember that. Remember when you're on the mountain that you are an amazingly blessed person to even be able to do this. And you are an amazing place and you're super lucky. So remember that and enjoy that and take it all in when you're on the mountain.
Yeah, great. Taking it all in is key. And
it's easy to forget. It's easy to take it for granted.
And that's why when you're on a lift, talk to the person next to you.
Yeah. So getting off the music, like take the music off for a little bit, talk to the people next to you, and you'll learn a lot. I mean, you know, we've had experiences where we talk to people that are either mountain ambassadors, ex ski patrol or ex instructors. And even people that have bands that are playing in the local town. So you find out about a lot of intel going on in the area that you're in, the conditions. You find out about other ski areas. You find information out about that. You find out like social things that are going on, which is great.
Or you talk to some guys who are so stoned out of their minds, they make you laugh your ass off.
Exactly.
I experienced at Clinton a couple years ago. Me and my wife still laugh about these guys because they were so high. And everything we said was responded to with, whoa! Because they were, again, they were loving what we were saying. We were loving what they were saying.
But you didn't shut them out. That's the thing.
We didn't shut them out. Yeah, exactly. No, we shared a moment.
Courtesy, you know?
We shared a moment.
Don't judge. Don't judge, just be.
All right, so are you guys ready to rant? So I'm thinking about doing, we're going to do an etiquette speed round.
Let's do it.
Etiquette speed round. So boom. I'll start out. I'm gonna say a couple things, and I just want you guys to rant. All right. So talking on the phone on the left.
The worst thing possible.
Absolutely horrible.
Stop.
It's the rudest thing you can do, and chances are somebody wants to slap that phone out of your hand while you're on the lift.
And it should be, it's actually allowed.
And it might be me.
If you do that, you knock the phone out of someone's hand, that's fine.
It's allowed.
What are you going to do? I'm on the lift. See you.
Go and get it.
Okay. Kissing.
If you want to kiss another guy on the lift, that's fine. Hey. If you want to kiss another girl, hey, that's fine.
Easy now.
You got to be careful. Your lips don't stick together. You know?
That's right.
It could be too cold.
A little danger in that. You might fall off.
I'm okay with
a little romance.
Nothing wrong with a romance. I'm okay with a little romance.
I'm all right with a little. Now making out, well, then again, that might be fun to watch too.
Then you got helmets. You got helmets and goggles and stuff. It's difficult, but that makes it. The logistics are tough.
Right. It's actually more fun to watch that than actually be part of it.
Yeah,
that's true. So it's allowed.
Drinking on the lift.
Drinking on the lift.
Yes, depending who's around. Any kids around? Definitely no.
No.
If somebody's all uptight about it, but they're not a kid, then that's just tough.
A little flask action, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. We're grown ups, you know.
As long as you're not hammered.
I mean, they have that garbage on the lift. I mean, that's so that you could chuck a beer and throw it in there. Right? Exactly. Isn't that what that's for?
at certain high-quality resorts, yes, that is what they have it there for. Mountain Creek.
Big Camelback. Boulder, Jack Frost, Camelback.
Yeah. No, but you know, like, we have plenty of times carry a little hip flask, have it in there. A little nip. You're not getting hammered. You just have a little something to take the edge off.
A little relax.
And so I got to tell you,
of an Advil, you take a little hit.
Proper etiquette. Okay.
So I said my best skiing
etiquette
I've done
is
a couple
passing
drinks.
Passing it around. Don't be a hog.
There you go.
Share. You're less likely to get hammered too, which is good.
All right. So I don't smoke cigarettes, but you know I understand people that smoke cigarettes. They have to have their fix. Smoke a cigarette.
Not on the lift.
Boom. Out.
I don't think it's bad if you're on the end and you're blown away, but generally no.
Plus, I mean, I've been behind people who've been smoking.
And if there's kids on the lift, no.
Yeah, there's kids, like, it's...
All right, so what about the other smoking?
Weed?
Weed,
yes,
no.
Yes, if everybody agrees.
Yes, no.
Yes, if everybody on the thing agrees.
Only if it's in a state that has recognized it as being legal.
Yes. If you do it legally within the state confines.
Colorado, Washington.
Washington,
Alaska.
Then again, I don't think it's legal to smoke even in those states on the because it's a public place.
Allegedly.
So. I've actually heard of cops being at the top of some mountains where they actually are looking for people smoking and they will arrest you or write you a ticket.
So we're going to go through the etiquette. So if I, for example, happen to have a joint on me, so it would be acceptable if I said to my other four passengers or three passengers on the quad, would you guys like to smoke up? And if the answer is yes.
Or do you mind? Do you mind if I smoke them? See, you know, just saying.
Okay. So that would be the proper etiquette of smoking weed on the lift. All right. I just, you know, because I'm writing this all down. I'm going to send this to the United States Ski Academy.
Yeah. What about vaping?
That's what I'm talking about.
Is vaping always okay?
I think you got to put vaping in the classification of smoking and weed.
We'll keep it there?
Yeah, just in there.
Edibles, drinkables?
Vaporizer. Huh?
Speaking of smoking or emitting some kind of gases, I mean, how about farting?
Not proper etiquette.
Not proper.
That's out. No, because it's always the fat guy that farts.
That's true.
Yeah. But you know what? Nature calls. You're outside.
You are outside. And the lift is going forward.
It's cold.
So as long as the lift is going forward, I mean, if you stop and then the fart happens, then that's breach etiquette.
All right. So here's the deal. It's acceptable as long as nobody else can hear it.
Or smell it. See, if you're moving on the lift at the high speed, you're gonna outrun that fart.
Hopefully. I believe it's like don't ask, don't tell.
Exactly.
What about the gondola?
No, definitely
not. You gotta reel that in.
No, you gotta reel
that in.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think on the lift, it's a don't ask, don't tell.
I think you should try to do a silent one. You don't want to really advertise, hey, pull my finger on the lift, you know. Just pull my finger could turn into, hey,
I
let's throw me off the lift.
Right.
Gondola.
I don't know how that became.
Gondola,
you're
hotboxing someone. Yeah. That's no one's
there. Next couple are easy. Politics on the lift.
Keep it away.
Keep it off.
Enjoy the day.
Not talk on the whole mountain.
Talk about the snow. So, talk about your favorite runs.
Unless you're there for a fundraising event, absolutely not.
All right. Bra tray. Acceptable.
I never. Always acceptable.
Always.
Always acceptable.
What was the hesitation?
I just don't understand. Like, Are they bringing extra clothes? Are they trying to...
No, it has to be... They can't throw it onto the tree unless it was on them first.
See, in the Northeast, it's cold as hell, so I'm wondering how they actually...
That's tough.
That's pretty, you know...
And you know what? To show we're not sexist, I've seen jock straps on the tree, and I applaud that as well, because everyone's allowed to throw something on there, you know?
That's what makes you weird.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm an equal opportunity lover.
How about eating? Eating on the left.
Yes.
If you could manage a four-course meal on the left, why not?
6 foot hoagie.
That's right.
Pull that out.
Eating. Boom. All right, so we'll just recap that. So drinking, yes. Mary Jane, yes. Kissing, yes. Bratry, yes. Eating, yes. Politics, no. Talking on the phone will kill you.
Yes.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Somebody wants to throw that phone on the ground.
And you know what? It really all comes down to, again, you know, just being courteous of people around you. Knowing who's around you. Don't do any, like, don't smoke or, you know, drink in front of kids. You know, you really have to be conscious of your environment. And that's on the mountain, on the lifts, everywhere. You know, that's how the best way to prevent being that guy is to be conscious and be courteous to those around you.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Or girl.
Mostly it's guys, though.
Yeah. Mostly except for phone. Guys, I've seen a lot more girls.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Don't be the phone girl.
Like, it's okay to have a quick call or just, like, I'm here.
You're never calling your coach.
Yeah.
You're never like, well, you know, I was on this one run and my speed was a little bit slow. How can I improve that?
When you hear the whole conversation of, you know, so-and-so did this at this party, I don't want to hear it.
Shut up. No way. Shut up. Yeah, that's – save that for your scion, wherever you do that in.
Save it for the bar.
Save it for the bar. That's what the bar. That's what APRA is all about.
Now, that's a whole other topic we'll get to. APRA, we'll get to a lot of other etiquette.
Ski house trip etiquette.
Travel etiquette is very big on, like, buses, planes. There's different things, especially you go by yourself, you go with a club. There's different things.
Yeah, all of us have been on, like, a lot of trips with a lot of different kinds of groups and people, and you really can learn a lot about what you shouldn't do by seeing others doing those particular things. So,
and then you learn over time too, like even when you're skiing with other people, like there's an etiquette to that. Who do you ski with? When do you interject yourself into skiing? When do you not? You know, like.
Absolutely. And giving advice and taking people that are new at skiing on tree runs and stuff like that. And we can go into that segment. We'll go into that segment in the next couple episodes. That's why you guys will notice I'll always ski when there's always skiers there. I'll snowboard when there's a snowboarder, but if I'm with all skiers, I don't snowboard. I'll ski because I know it slows people down.
Well, there's skiers. A reason for it too. It's the traversing. It's where you want to go for...
Exactly. It's a different experience.
Terrain, things like that.
So next couple episodes coming up, one would be we're going to do a deep dive into ski houses. We probably have 20 plus years of renting ski houses between the three of us. There's a tremendous amount of learning there, and we want to take you guys through
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, you could have an amazing, amazing winter, and then you could also have a crazy winter and a lot of drama. And I think when you're skiing, you want to have fun, and you want to have no drama.
And we've all seen the real world. You see how it's good sometimes and bad sometimes, and you know what? Ski houses can be a little bit like that.
Yeah, so we want to give you some pointers on which ski house to choose, because you're going to have friends in ski houses. You're going to have lots of opportunities. There's tons of Craigslist ads for ski houses.
And other things.
Yeah, and so we want to tell you what to look for so that you'll have an amazing winter.
Yep, based on the first thing you have to figure out is what you want out of a ski house, and that's going to help guide you to find the right ads, the right things to look for, and we'll help you guide you through that process.
Yeah, good.
On a later episode.
So let's go around the horn. Why don't we start? We start with Brian. Around the horn.
Start with me. Yeah. I was up in Killington this weekend. Not a great weekend. I've never seen the kind of freezing rain and ice and black ice that we encountered this weekend. Almost died in a van ride, sort of. But you know what? Still got out there. Still got one good day. And any day skiing is awesome because it's a long hot summer and it's coming up pretty close. So. Steve, what do you got?
All right, so I was all set to go to Northeastern Pennsylvania this weekend with my daughter and her best friend and her father. And I looked at the weather and I said, you know what? Let's change the plans. Instead, we went to Sky Zone. And nice. That's a trampoline park. So we got up the same time.
I told you about that.
That place looks pretty awesome.
If you want to get in good ski shape, that's...
First of all, awesome. And we went there so early. There was nobody there. I don't know why I did ridiculous flips. But I did. I know why, because I was able to do flips and not kill myself.
Sweet air.
And I'll tell you what a great training ground, thinking about doing a back scratcher, thinking about all the different moves that you can make when you're skiing. You know, it's great to do that on a trampoline because you're gaining that feeling to be in the air and then the balance there too, in the air.
Yeah.
So I actually wish I could bring my snowboard there or skis. I don't think they're going to allow that, though.
Yeah. But they have a foam pit there, right?
Yeah.
So you jump and do your flips right into the foam pit.
It's great. Right into the foam pit. So that's why. So I took a detour from skiing, but I think it was a good one. But I'm looking forward to this weekend, getting out there again.
Cool,
nice.
So me, one of the things I did recently was I watched that Lindsey Vonn, The Climb. It was actually pretty cool to see, you know, the stuff that she's gone through. I think that's something we might want to look at later on of, you know, how people come back from injuries. We have a lot of people that have. I know one of my friends personally had like two knee surgeries this last winter, and they rehabbed over the summer, and now this winter is the first time they're skiing, and there's a lot that goes to it, but you know, that's just for like a normal person, and I'd like to see that, because some people, they're not a, you know, looking at the Lindsey Vonn
she's
that
incredible.
Show it was incredible, but here's somebody that's doing it for a profession. They have a whole team of experts that are helping her. But if you're a normal skier like us, you know, did you go to, you know, these people? Did you go to rehab? You know, did you go to physical therapy? Oh, no, I missed physical therapy. And then you see the complications you have later on. So I think that's something to look into a little bit deeper with some of the people around.
Yeah, you don't have four coaches and sponsors and everything kind of helping you get through the process.
I'll tell you what, though. She's amazing. And you can tell she has that fighting spirit. And that's why she was able to come back.
Yeah,
she's it was a great episode. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's called The Climb. Lindsey Vonn. It's on Red Bull TV.
Yeah, I love Red Bull TV.
It's awesome.
Yeah, she's an amazing skier and just a hard worker. But that crash, that was brutal.
I just want to see her make a good comeback. We'll keep track of her.
She did, and that's what's great.
Yeah, she's doing all right.
The other thing that came up for me this week is there's a local shop here, Hino's, that's having a sale. They have their sales, you know, a few times a year. And the reason it kind of hit me when we were talking about it before is it's a small local shop, local run. Has one of the best boot fitters, I think, you know, ranking wise when they rank the boot fitters in the nation. And it's not near a ski area. It's a tiny little shop. But for some reason, they're doing something right. And they have a good set of people in there. And they know what they're doing. And it would be interesting to dig in a little bit more about that, too.
Yeah, if you go there and you mention Ski Bum Podcast, you will get nothing additional off. At least at this time.
0%.
They won't charge you more, though, either, so, you know.
That's right.
You've lost nothing, you've gained nothing.
They might give you a smile or something.
Even Steven.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, that was another great conversation, guys. Thanks thanks again. Thank you all for listening. If you want to reach out to us again, you can hit us up on Twitter at SkiBumPodcast or SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com. So, thanks, and we'll see you next time.
Have a great week. Everyone.